Welcome in, latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And no, Shane did not lose a crazy amount of weight. That is Chris Marler, Vern Funquist. Got too many damn jobs to list. How's it going, buddy?
It's good. Not anymore. It's not Vern Funquist anymore. Remember, I lost all those accounts.
Oh, Vern Dumb. Isn't it Dumbquist?
Yeah, Vern Dumbquist now. It's good to be here, for one. Stuttering aside, two, this guy, Trees 4. This is how I want to start the show. Even though it's your show and I didn't ask permission to do this, I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Formal apology. Because 2 weeks ago, my dumbass forgot to say anything about Missouri. And now, dude, it's looking like Missouri might be one of the best teams in the SEC. Not just like a fun story. Not just like a, oh, what a cool turnaround and a bounce back season and all. Like, it was cute 2 weeks ago. And now you look at Missouri and it's like, oh, shit, they might be a legit team. No, I don't know any of the Missouri players' names. And I do that on purpose, Treese. I'm trying to help you out because I don't want to jinx it for you.
Not even Caleb Grill with his 20 points? Come on now.
Dude, that kid, the one who looks like I'm going to continue to refer to him as, he looks like, I'm going to date myself here, he looks like if Chris Doring was a part of the Foot Clan in one of the live-action Ninja Turtle movies. Like 1,000%, that's what he looks like. And I've wanted to text that to CD and Peter Burns repeatedly this season, but I'm like, they're not going to get it. That's going to be super weird.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what else is weird? Yeah, like you said, you just jumped right in here. We're brought to you by MyBookie. Don't forget, Super Bowl's coming up here, so they got all kinds of prop bets, and obviously you can wager on the game, and you can even stuff that Chris loves. Maybe I should have given you the list, Chris, but there's things you can wager on how long the national anthem's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
You can wager on if someone's going to trip while they walk up all the stage to do the national anthem, things of that nature, coin toss, on and on and on over at mybookie.ag. That's the website. Don't forget that promo code, that SEC, THATSEC. Thank you, MyBookie, for sponsoring the show. And, man, so Chris is here. We're going to talk SEC power rankings. That's a specialty.
Abby, uh-huh. First off, your six-year-old probably doesn't have to cover the other 15 teams in the league. And your six-year-old probably has had at least one day off since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I will tell you this, Mike. Back to what you said about MyBookie as a fun plug. If you are, I'm not trying to get anyone into gambling, and I would never call it anyone degenerate. I always say dedicated. But yes. NFL Super Bowl prop bets are the most fun. It's the most fun time of year to bet. My all-time favorite prop bet of all time, the year that they were in Minnesota. I don't remember who was playing. I want to say it was the Eagles and Patriots. But the year they played in Minnesota, there was a prop bet from my bookie that was, will the total amount of points scored in the first quarter be higher or lower than the temperature outside? And I like run to my weather app. It was 2 degrees. And I was like, this feels like the lock of the century. And it was, and I won. It was great. So props were awesome.
Yeah. Well, hey, I know, again, I labeled this basketball power rankings, but I did want to ask you something, and I also put this in the title, because you seem to be a man on an island, and you, I think you were the last man willing to defend Jalen Milroe. And that doesn't mean I'm calling him out or anything, but I'm wondering what you think of Jalen Milroe as he heads into the NFL.
So I've been pretty clear about this with Milroe. I want him to succeed. I really do. Cause I think that like what bothers me a lot is this very punchline type of society that we live in social media, where it's like if one person messes up in one game, it's like the memes come out of everywhere and like they suck, they're terrible. Listen, Jalen Milroe is not a first round quarterback. I have maintained throughout most of the pre-draft process before this weekend, I still think he's going to go in the first round. And that's not because I think he deserves to. I think that he is a quarterback that is going to go to Indianapolis. He's going to run a 4-3, and he is going to be like physically, he's going to be built and he's going to look big and he's going to throw well against air. Not even in 7-on-7s, but just against air. And I think that when he runs the 40 and is able to throw the deep ball, some idiot NFL GM is going to get enamored with his athletic ability, just like they did with Anthony Richardson, just like we see all the time. Like how many dumbass early first round draft picks have we seen at quarterback? Like, so to suggest that he's not going to ever get drafted in the first round is crazy to me because we see it over and over again. But what he needs is to go in the second or third round, go to a place where he can get developed and sit like the bench and see if he can develop into a better quarterback. Because, yeah, the passing situations, I mean, his passing game is not great. I will also tell you this, the video floating around of him, every throw he had at the Senior Bowl yesterday, did you notice that in 10 dropbacks, he was under pressure and five of them got sacked three times?
Yeah, I thought it was every throw he made, and it was every sack he took. And that he didn't even have time to, you know, get it to a receiver. So,
right.
Yeah, point being, again, I'm not here to pile on him, but I don't know that we've talked about this, and I didn't want to turn this into the damn Jalen Milroe show, but
I do.
Are you surprised that he's went to the NFL? Because that's kind of where I'm at. Again, I hear what you just said. If we could guarantee he's going in the first round, absolutely no-brainer decision. But I mean, I think he's more likely. I'm not saying he'll go in the fourth round. I don't know. But right. I think that would not surprise me as much as him going in the first round. While there's a lot of places, I would think like Oregon, maybe even Texas A&M. I thought Auburn would be a dream scenario for him. Go stay in college football, make several millions of dollars, and then go to the draft. I'm so surprised that he didn't take that route.
Dude, go to Florida State and let Gus Malzahn be your OC. Like, I mean, you know, I think you're right. I think that his time at Bama, if he would have come back for another year, I would have welcomed it, and I thought it would have been okay, I think, because I think they would have figured out a way to make it better than it was. I think that. I don't know if that's true. Like, because it was one of those things where it feels like it's like at the end of the year. I mean, man, going up in that Oklahoma game, you know, he had a bad game against Tennessee, but it wasn't his fault they lost to Vandy. He played out of his mind against Georgia. Remember after the Georgia game, there was several places that thought he was going to be the number one overall pick. Like that's like how crazy this thing has fallen off. So I do think his time at Bama was done. I think that he should have probably stayed another year somewhere. I disagree with A&M because I think Marcel Reed's going to be good. But like you saw what Carson Beck did. If that move would have benefited Jalen Milroe so much more financially in the long run than anyone else, way more than Carson Beck. Because Carson Beck, I think, is going to probably end up having a good NFL career. But Jalen Milroe, most likely, there's a ceiling on how good of a passer he's going to be. That guy could have stayed for another year and made $4 million or $3 million as another year in college. And still got better on tape. Like I think that would have been the great move or the right move. I don't know why he didn't choose that though.
Yeah, Dree says it's the best basketball player. But hey, and then I swear we'll get to the basketball here in a second. But you just made me you gave a shout out to Marcel Reed. So I know I'm asking you this kind of like off the top of your head, but where would you rank him in the SEC in terms of quarterbacks next year's if you had to put him? Put a number on it or a tier or what have you. Cause most, I don't get it. Most people in the comments and all that, they think it must be Texas people. I don't know, but they think he's garbage. He sucks.
Why?
I don't know. I can't get that. So the fact that you're speaking up for him, I think we should call attention to that.
Yeah. Okay. So look, what is it about? Is it just a fan thing or is it because of, we're just so, we can cuss on the show. Is it because we're just so fucking miserable with social media that we have to, everything has to be something. Like everything has to be a take. Marcel Reed was in his very first season as a starter in the SEC.
Right.
I thought he played really well. Like he played well against LSU and the whole knock on him became, well, he can't throw the ball. And it's like, why don't we think he can throw the ball? Oh, because he ran the ball well. So if he ran the ball well, he's clearly not good at throwing the ball. I think he finished the game like 2 for 2 for like 69 yards or something.
I think what it is, and I could be totally wrong. I don't want to risk me misread people's intentions. But I think people talk without actually watching the body of work.
Yeah.
But I think most people watch Texas versus Texas A&M, and admittedly, A&M's offense was horrible. Therefore, right. The quarterback was bad. That would be my take on it.
That was the whole of the quarterback. It was Connor Wegman, who I mean, he was bad. I will say too. I think.
No, did I say Notre Dame? I meant Texas. Texas A&M.
Oh, so where he stands, dude, like in like the rest of the tiers, I think you start with Nussmeier. I think it's around him, and then it's Lenora Sellers, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, DJ Lagway's got a really high ceiling, but he's also a guy that came off of, you know, under 60% completion percentage. He did that in 5 of his last 7 games. I mean, he's kind of an enigma because it's like 12 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. under 60% completion percentage, but he had only two games where he was over 60% completion percentage to close out the year in the last seven games. He also had two games where he had over 18 yards per attempt. So you're like what? Like what? How does that happen? So I think that those would probably be up there for me. I think the top two are Sellers and Lenoris. We will wait and see with Arch. I'm sure he will be great, but like, let him play. And by the way, and if he struggles in his first year as a starter, maybe take a beat and see if he develops. I don't know. I mean, I doubt he will because he'll be in year three, but that's where I would start.
So you're going on the record, Marcel better than Arch Manning. I could use that clip.
I did not say that. Kyle Sproul brings up a really good point. If Talen Green can just hold on to the football better, like Arkansas turns into an 8-win team.
Yeah. Well, you know who's a 12-win team? JR, cousin JR, we appreciate you as always. He gives a membership every damn show, Chris. I mean, he's a legend. I thought it was you for a while, and then I was like, that bastard would not be that kind. Shout out, Ryan Foster. Welcome to the family. Thanks to you, cousin JR. All right, let's get into it. Let's get a little power rankings. Number 16, who does Chris Marler have as the worst? And I think I already know the worst basketball team right now in the SEC.
No one's going to give me flack for this because it doesn't matter. I don't think it's South Carolina. I know they're 0-9. I think it's LSU.
Oh,
dude, LSU they are so bad. And then yesterday they're at home. And I've told you this 1,000 times, Mike. The home record this year in the SEC has been so overwhelmingly in favor of the team playing at home. Like, not only did they lose to an unranked Texas team, they lost by 31 points. I think you had six of the eight or five of the eight games yesterday were by 20 points or more. I think it was five of the eight were by 20 points or more. They managed to lose by 31 at home to an unranked Texas team. It is the worst loss they've had in over 55 years to an unranked opponent at home. And on top of that, they didn't have a single starter over 7 points. That is almost impossible.
Who's the coach down there, Coach O?
No, who's the D coordinator they had back there? It's Bo Pelini. They had Bo Pelini coaching basketball now.
Okay, so that's fair enough. So that means South Carolina, you got them 15th?
They moved up this week in those close losses. They're 15. They are 15. It's so disheartening, especially covering South Carolina like closely with like the Locked On stuff, because you have to give Lamont Paris credit because they still show up every game. They go down to the wire last night against A&M, and that's a team that's ranked in the top 15. A&M's good, man. They can shoot the lights out. But I think they're 0-9, so you've lost nine straight games. Five of those losses were by 5 points or less. Four were by top 15 teams. It's just like it almost makes me wish they could tank for something, but I don't think it would lead to anything good. They're bad.
All right, we got 14.
Who do we have 14? You tell me. Georgia, maybe?
They're fading.
They are. They've lost. I think they got off the schneid because they beat South Carolina, so that was good. But yesterday they got ran out of the building. I would probably have – who am I forgetting? You guys let me know in the chat who I'm forgetting because it's definitely somebody. Give me a second here, Mike. Let me pull this up so I don't feel stupid.
Oh, come prepared.
Yeah, it's Georgia. I would put Georgia there only because they've lost – they've been good at home because they have one good win over Kentucky. But outside of that, man, the close loss to Auburn is it's really losing its luster and shine. So I would have them probably at 14.
In the comment, they're saying, how about Mississippi State? But we'll get to them. Who you got 13 then? Unlucky 13.
I feel like it has to be Arkansas.
Did you not watch it? Saturday night.
They're 2-6.
Biggest win in program history.
They're two and six. Like, listen, I was pulling for Coach Cal last night, all night. I thought he was hilarious. I thought it was a great win. But they're 2-6, man. Like they're 2-6. They lost against Oklahoma at home. Maybe their schedule gets easier for them moving forward, but I want them to be higher. I feel bad for putting them so low. But as we all know, if you watch this show, I don't know what the hell I'm doing anyway. So, like, I'm putting them.
Yeah, stop
there.
It, dumb quiz. Remember, this is Chris's list. But here, devil's advocate. This is what Cal does every year. Yeah. I watch it year in, year out. They start slow. They get better. And maybe they'll just catch fire now. Apparently, you're not buying into that, but
I mean, their schedule gets easier, so yeah, they could. But like, I mean, they better catch fire. Like, is he going to coach them like this the rest of the year? Like, are they going to get 50 combined points every game from DJ Wagner, the kid with all the consonants in his name that I can't pronounce because he sounds like a Russian spy? Not even going to try to do that. You know what I mean?
So it kind of feels like you're saying, maybe they, you know, they gave everything they had for their coach. They knew what this game meant to him, and quite frankly, to a lot of them who the players came from Kentucky. So you're thinking this will be hard to replicate week in, week out.
I just have to base it off of what we have seen for half of the conference play. Like, half of the games have been played. I hope they go on a run because I think college basketball is better when Coach Cal's involved. So I hope they go on a run. I hope they make a dent into the SEC tournament, and I hope they get to March, and I hope they're able to get to the second weekend. I hope all those things happen. Like, Arkansas is a good program, and those fans deserve more than they're getting from so far this year. But it's hard to sit here and say, okay, well, you got a win against Georgia at home, but you had a huge come from behind win. But then even after that is when I thought they were going to start to get on the roll. Remember, I said it on the show like last week. Like, I thought that's what would be – that would kind of be the catalyst, and then they lose at home to Oklahoma. So – I hope I'm wrong and I hope they get better, but I just have a hard time putting them further up. And the only other team that I would really put them ahead of probably is the next two, which is Oklahoma and Texas. But those two teams are coming off 30-point wins.
Right. Well,
on the road. Not Oklahoma.
They call them Dumbquist for a reason. All right, let's do Oklahoma. So you got Oklahoma 12. Buddy, they just had a huge win against Vanderbilt. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's Oklahoma at home. Like, I mean, they ran them out of the gym, which is impressive. I mean, these two teams, it has been so lackluster having them in the conference so far. I would want to put Oklahoma ahead of Texas, kind of, but they lost them on a home court. I think it was at home. Texas also is coming off a 30-point win. So it's like they kind of mirrored each other the last couple weeks. And honestly, Texas is starting to play pretty good basketball. And on top of that, Texas is also one of the few teams, or it's the last team in the SEC that's projected into the NCAA tournament.
Mm. And I know you love the coach and his tongue wagging, so we got to factor that in as well, right?
Tony Mathis with the comment of the episode so far.
Billy had Florida rolling. They scored 44 yesterday.
So bad. Dude, you know they hadn't scored less than 70 points in a game all year? They scored 44 yesterday.
That's that Tennessee defense.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so now we're into the top 10. Who you got number 10?
Mississippi State.
Mm.
Yeah. Dude, what a fall from grace. I don't know. Maybe they should be ahead of Vandy, but they don't have the quality wins I don't think that Vandy has, because Vandy has two home wins against Kentucky and Tennessee. Mississippi State, what's so concerning about Mississippi State is it's not the fact that they are – let me make sure I'm right here. They are in conference. They're 4-5. But they got Kentucky at home, they got Bama at home, and they got, I think it was A&M at home. And, you know, like, losing on the home on your home court this year, when, again, it's been such an overwhelmingly big advantage, it's become routine. And then, so, it's not the fact that they lost to those teams. Like, it's respectable to lose to Kentucky by 5, 95-90. It's respectable to lose to Bama in a game where Hubbard shoots the lights out. He has like 38 points. It's awesome. But what happened yesterday with Missouri when they came in and ran them out of the fucking gym, man? Like, that was it was never close. So yeah, I would have to have them down there at the very bottom there at 10.
Okay, I'm loving this Missouri love. Number 9. Who's number 9?
Missouri. No, not really. Kidding. Oh, God. I still don't believe, brother.
You son of a.
Shouldn't even be in this conference. You seen where they are on a map? I couldn't spell it out for you. And the way they pronounce it, Missouri, is there an A in there I didn't see, brother? No, it's not Missouri. It is Vanderbilt. Dude, this is why they cannot have nice things. I want them to have nice things. We all do. Okay, Vanderbilt is just that whole Tyra Banks gif. It's like, we all were cheering for you, all of us. And then it's like, you know, what happened from the court storming on Saturday to now? And I'm pretty sure they had a bye in the middle of the week. Am I wrong about that? You guys tell me. No, Tennessee is not number one. Jeez Louise.
Number two. All right, I'll give you that. They did lose to Auburn, but yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt. I just think that's the strength of this league, man. You just don't know, you know, week in and week out. I'm new to all this, but it seems like I watch a team and they're amazing, and then the next game they get exposed, and that happens time and time again to everybody I've seen except for Auburn and Alabama, probably.
It's wild because they brought this up on the broadcast yesterday, and yesterday was Saturday SEC slates really have become like must-see TV in my opinion, where it's like. It's become a great excuse to not do anything. It's like a college football Saturday. It's like you have good basketball on from start to finish. And yesterday was like, dude, yesterday we had the last tip at 9. And so you basically had from noon to 11:30 p.m. You had good games on paper. But yesterday was weird because it was, again, you had 5 of the 8 games were blowouts by 20 points or more. You only had one that was under double digits. And that was a South Carolina game. But, yeah, it's hard to tell. But they were saying on the broadcast yesterday, like, and this is going to be hard for fans to understand because you're going to look at the schedules and knowing fans, they're going to pick and choose and, like, cherry pick from things like, oh, that team sucks because they got, you know, destroyed by so-and-so. And it's like, well, they also, like, beat this team because it feels like every single resume has at least one of those on it. Vanderbilt being a great example because they just lost by 30 at Oklahoma. But they also beat Kentucky and Tennessee. So I don't know. If you get to 500 in this conference this year, that is a really, really big win.
Don't lie to the cousins. You got nothing to do on a Saturday anyway. All right, number eight.
Number eight, I'm going to say Ole Miss. Ole Miss lost 4 of the last 5.
Yeah, but these were some tough teams, right? I mean, they pushed Auburn Saturday.
Yeah, but like, I mean, here's the thing. Again, like finding ways to like be a catalyst for you to go through the entire rest of the season. Cause it's a gauntlet for everybody. It's like, there's no team that is going through the SEC right now. It's like, oh my God, it's not like Texas in football. Like everyone has good teams left on their schedule. Like, and they have all season. I think the thing with Ole Miss is like you beat Bama on the road, beat them by 10 on the road. And then you follow it up with losing, I think 4 of your last 5. It is just, I don't know. It is, geez, Louise's. I can't tell if I love him or hate him. It's probably somewhere in between. That guy's hilarious. They have some losses to good teams, and they also have a feather in their cap with a road winning at Bama, like I said. But I don't care how close it was that you lost that. It's cute if you do it once, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a bunch of close losses, again, the luster on that kind of wears away.
Yeah. All right, who's number 7?
I don't know, Mike. You tell me. Why do I have to do everything on this show?
You are the show.
I hate the show. Who is number 7? Where are we at? Who have I?
You just did Ole Miss.
I'll say Kentucky's at 7, right?
Oh, my God. What a fall from grace.
Hold on.
I think you had them 4. That's fair.
They're at 7. They're at 7.
Okay. We can obviously tell how prepared you came for this.
Shut up, dude. I drove to Atlanta. You're lucky the internet is like fantastic. We're not doing this on my phone. We got sconces in the background. Look at that.
It looks great.
Thank you.
I don't see any women crawling back here, though.
She did not. For those of you who don't know that my beautiful girlfriend on one of the episodes we did for this before the 2023 SEC Championship, there's just a screenshot that lives rent-free in my head. Did this guy do any prep? Craig, did you do any prep? Tell me who should be at 7 then, Craig. You tell me. What have I said that's been so egregiously wrong?
No, but there is a previous interview. Go, hey, Easter egg. Yeah. Maybe it'll help the views. Marler's on the show. There's a woman in the background. You could see a lot. You know, I'll just say that.
She's fully clothed, and she's just army crawling back. Anyway, yeah. So back to the thing. I would have Kentucky here, and there's – listen, you had an extra several days to prepare for this game. And you like everything that needed to be in place for you to win the game was in place. You were supposed to be the better team. They were 1-6. They are one of the worst teams in the league coming in. You have the chip on your shoulder. You have all the motivation factor. You have like the revenge factor. You want to win the breakup thing. Blah 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 blah. Thank you, Shane. So you had all those things, and on top of all that, Mike, you were at home. You were at home. And going into that game, Kentucky had one loss at home, and it was to Alabama. So that's a much different team than losing at home to Arkansas. And not only did you lose, the consistent theme of the day yesterday, you got ran out of the gym. Every time they started to mount a comeback, Arkansas did something else to emphatically put them away. And the salt in the wound out of all of it, which makes it even more embarrassing, and I'm not trying to be a dick and rub it in, but like phrasing, but like the thing with that makes it more embarrassing is you let three of your former players put up 52 on you on prime time. Like it was, and you know what? I don't care how this sounds. I'm sure there's really nice Kentucky fans somewhere, but like
Ollie, come on. Ollie's the best.
Ollie nailed me a bomb.
you deserved it. You deserved it.
No, I didn't.
I'm about to mail you one after this show.
If you guys think I'm unprepared and not accurate now, you should see when I was at my most accurate 3 years ago on this stupid show and correctly predicted Ole Miss beating Kentucky, and all the things I said it would happen, and then the Kentucky fan sent me some deranged package of witch giving.
Let me switch gears here, though. Yep. But I know it's apples to oranges. Is that what they say? But this guy, it kind of felt to me Saturday night, and again, not the perfect comparison. Football, basketball, I get all that. Regular season, if Kentucky goes on an NCAA tournament run, yep, nobody's going to give a damn. Right. But it kind of reminds me. Remember when Dan Mullen left Mississippi State? They brought in Joe Moorhead, and he had a hell of a team. He basically lost the fan base first month of the season, losing at home to Dan Mullen's Florida crew. And the point I'm trying to make is Mark Pope, wildly popular.
Yeah.
But I think he lost some fans last night, and he's going to have to do something to get some of them back. You think that's fair?
I don't, but I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's fair because he's had a really good year.
Yeah.
He's had a really good year. I don't think it's fair of the fans to do that, but I don't think you're wrong at all. But I mean, dude, like you said, Kentucky is still a really good team. It's just now the issue gets so much more difficult because if he would have made a Sweet 16 in year one, I think that would have been looked at from some like logical Kentucky fans, which have been like, you know what, year one, they had to bring in all these new guys, all these people in the portal. It was like a whole new starting five and roster. Like, you know, good for them. We're good to go up by 30, by the way. So, like, I think that they would have probably looked at him and been like, you know, that's a good first year. We'll build on it. But now, especially if you get upset in the tournament and you have to go look at this loss, then, yeah, I think people are probably going to have an issue with it.
Okay, number six.
Number six. I'm going to put A&M there, right?
Ooh.
Dude, A&M is good.
Yeah.
And the thing that's scary about A&M is they have the size inside, and they're like physically and athletic enough to compete with most teams in the SEC. But if Wade Taylor is Wade Taylor, they're hard for anyone to beat. You saw it last night. Wade Taylor, I think, shout out to my bookie. Go start an account with them and use the promo code Mike brought up earlier. But dude, I think his prop bet last night was 2 threes. He had 4 or 5 in the first half. Like, Wade Taylor is such a good shooter, and that team is like, that team is more fundamentally sound and well coached, I think, than most. Like Buzz Elliott's just a really, really good coach. So I think that they are still capable of making a run. They could still be a top half, you know, or a top five team in the SEC. It's like being at six feels so low, but I don't know who you'd put him above.
Yeah, and I don't know who Buzz Elliott is. I think it's Buzz Williams. But I think
Buzz Elliott. Bud Elliott.
I think the only problem A&M's got, they got a Texas problem. I think Texas is in their head. I still can't believe they lost that damn game. They did get up big on them, but, man, blew that one. I think you're right. A&M's a tough team for me to evaluate, though, after that Texas loss. But that's going to happen.
Buzz Lightyear's got anything to do with it, they're going to be fine.
All right, number five.
Okay, this is where things are going to get interesting. Number five. Uh-huh. I think you have to put Florida at five.
Oh, you had number two last week.
And they are really good.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Sound good? Okay.
To infinity and beyond, Buzz.
Let me tell you something about my man Buzz. I'll just run the old whip around down there in the College Station. I don't feel good about having Florida in, thank you for that, Tony. I don't feel good about having Florida at five because I do think that they are still one of the best teams in the country. I saw this yesterday. Somebody, Florida fans were freaking out and they were like, you know, it's like, they're so streaky. It's like, no, they're not. Like they're 18-3. The 18-2 start is the best in over 20 years, which means that 18-2 start is better. 18-2 start is better than both the teams that won natties in 06 and 07. So they're still really, really good. It's hard for me to look at the loss yesterday where it's like, okay, you haven't been held to under 70 points by anyone all season. And not only are you under 70 points, you're at 44. I mean, you got flat out beaten up. And you were ahead early in the game, and it seemed like you were fine. You went cold from three, and you just got absolutely ran out of the gym from Tennessee. And it's a good Tennessee team who I believe all time, I know these numbers aren't right, but all time they are like a, I want to say it's like a 72.9% or 729 winning percentage at home against Florida versus on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, they dominated them at home. So Tennessee losing them on the road, fine. But losing by 20, and then you look at where do you put them in the shuffling of these teams? Like, they lost to Mizzou. I mean, so, you know, like I just, you could say 4A, 4B, but I have to have them behind Mizzou because Mizzou beat them.
Right, and they just faced their largest deficit of the entire season. But you're right; they're still again. That doesn't take away they're on a hell of a run. They could win the whole damn thing. I wouldn't be surprised. So number four, is that where you're going, Mizzou?
It's not.
Son of a bitch!
It's Tennessee.
Okay, wait. Tennessee just had their sixth consecutive home win over an AP top five team. Chris, their best player didn't even play. Whooped Florida's ass by 20.
Two of their best players didn't play.
There you go.
Is it Kai Ziegler's their best player?
I mean, hell, I like him the best.
This is a fun name to say. Let me tell you something about Zakai Buzz Williams. Here's the thing. Listen, I think Tennessee is really good. They play the worst, aesthetically displeasing brand of basketball of anyone in the SEC. They are really good. Here's the thing, man.
It's painful to watch them on offense. I'm not going to lie.
It's bad. And listen, yesterday was a huge win. Let's go through the losses, okay? Like I want you to do it because I don't have it pulled up in front of me. They lose at home to Kentucky, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, listen, that's only their fifth loss at home in the last 4-plus years. So they have been really good there. But they also lost by 30 to Florida earlier this year. They lost at Vanderbilt. They lost at Auburn. Maybe I am drastically overreacting, and now that I look at the numbers, I probably am, because you look at the losses, and then they have the loss of Vandy was by one, the loss at Auburn was by two, and the loss of Kentucky was by five. So you have three losses by eight total points. Maybe it's a much different thing. I think that it's more so at some point you have to give credit to Vandy or to Mizzou. I didn't mean to say Vandy. Mizzou and Vandy are the same. Mizzou is just Vandy with a fake ID. But you have to give credit to Missouri because they don't have those losses. Now, they might not have played as difficult of a schedule. They also lost to Auburn. But, like, they went on the road and beat Florida. They went on the road and beat Mississippi State. So I just think it's probably by a thin margin. But you have to give credit to Mizzou at this point. And it doesn't mean that Tennessee is not a good team or yesterday wasn't a great win. Yesterday was awesome, man. Like, it was miserable to watch. It was miserable to watch. But doing that without two starters, doing it with only seven scholarship players, like, it was wildly impressive, and it was like a vintage Rick Barnes, or Rick Vaughn from Major League. He's the head coach there. You know, it's a vintage Rick Barnes, like, style of play where it's like suffocating defense. You do enough offensively to get through. It feels like the first half, and then it's like you just beat your opponent in submission. They are so good at being able to drag their opponent down into the mud with them, whip down in that bikini, get into a little mud wrestling action. You know what I mean? They are just really good mud wrestling action.
Yeah, I think this is just your ranking is because Tennessee has beaten Alabama two straight at Neyland Stadium. But all right, no, so number three is you got to put Mizzou. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the resume
backs it up. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, I feel fine.
They're playing Tennessee at Tennessee's their next game.
Shit. That would have been such an easy thing to look up and avoid, but
in 3 days.
I tell you what, when we make the graphic for this, I'm putting Tennessee ahead of Mizzou.
you're switching it now?
No, I'm not. Not oh, for okay. See, I was, you know what? I'm off on meds, baby. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, so Mizzou's elite. So that then you got Alabama, I assume.
Yeah, somebody said they went on the road and beat Kansas. I got news for you. This year, that's not that impressive, I don't think.
Loudqueef over here. Please change your name to that.
Just next year at SEC Media Days. Hey, Kirby, Vern Loudqueef over here. Quick question for you.
Shade says from unmentioned to number three in 2 weeks, baby. Let's go.
It's all credit to you guys. Listen, if there's anything that I can tell you from this show specifically, is cyberbullying works. So here's the thing. It was when it happened. Yeah, that's fair.
Hold on.
Kansas just lost to Baylor and blew a 21-point lead.
Did they?
I understand the idea. I understand the idea that they should have – yesterday was an impressive win. They should have moved up. But you're also making the argument about a team that lost by 30 to that same team. So it's like, okay. All right, Bama's at two. I am still – honestly, man, maybe this is me emotionally hedging.
Mm-hmm.
I am waiting for the wheels to fall off of this Bama team because it is going to get – very difficult with the schedule going into this week. I think it was after the midweek games.
I'll run it down their schedule here. This is what Chris is talking about. February 15th. So it's two Saturdays essentially away. Number one, Auburn comes to town. Then they're at Mizzou. Then Kentucky comes to Bama. Mississippi State comes to Bama. Then at Tennessee. Then Florida at home. Then at Auburn.
Why don't you just start from the closest game?
I think I did. Yeah, that's what I did.
Oh, okay. Oh, they get a bye in the midweek. They're going to go at Arkansas, at Texas. So, yeah, they should win those two games. Here's what's interesting. Oh, they have Georgia in the midweek. No, they just beat Georgia. Here's what's interesting too, Mike. Think about this. There's only one team in the country as of right now that stands between a 1-2 Iron Bowl of basketball. Like, what world are we living in where you think about the fact that Bama and Auburn could line up, I don't think that's the right phrasing for basketball, they could line up and be 1-2. Now, Duke is the one that's in between them, right? So I have a hard time believing that they might lose because the ACC is shit this year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I think I heard the stat earlier this year. I could be wrong, but, you know, maybe I'm not for once. I'm pretty sure there's never been a top 10 matchup between Bama and Auburn in basketball. Like, they've had some really good teams, but I don't think they've ever been ranked in the top 10 at the same time. Anyway, I have Bama at two. They're clearly still trying to figure out like what to do with like the right lineups. They look better with Darian Reed coming back. Aiden Sherrill was fantastic. Mo Diabate, like their bench. This is the thing I keep saying is like, what's scary about Bama is that even when they get to putting in the whites, they're still really good. And I don't care how that sounds. Like even the backups are able to score a lot of points. Like they are really, really good. And they are really, really deep. Now that takes us to number one. Dude, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this still. It's
a massive separation, you think, between one and two?
I don't think it's a massive separation because of Alabama's talent. Like I think that Bama can beat Auburn if they are able to shoot well in Coleman in a couple weeks. When they go to Neville, they're going to lose by 10, like always. Like, it's just like no one beats them, it seems like, in Neville. But here's the thing. I do think Bama's talented enough to score enough points and beat them. We saw it last year. We've seen it with other good teams they've had. And this rivalry has been awesome to watch. What we're watching with Auburn, it's so bizarre that it, like, every time you think it couldn't somehow be more impressive, it is. So they have 13 quad one wins. I put up the stat last week. I think I sent it to you. That at the midweek, they had 11 quad one wins. They now have 13. But with the time when I posted it, they had more than double the quad one wins of every team in the country except for four. So there's five teams in the country that had six quad one wins or more. Auburn has 11. That means Auburn has more than double quad one wins than 360 of the 364 remaining teams. It's unbelievable. Like the record for that is 17 from a Kansas team a couple years ago. They are on pace to get that. I think there's still seven games they have left with a quad one opponent as of today. Mm-hmm. But man, if Janiah Broome can shoot a three, it's over for everyone. Like, it's just, they are so talented. They rebound so well. They play defense well. And they have so many good shooters. Like yesterday, Pettiford wasn't great, but you know, you have a guy like Miles Kelly who's from transfer from Georgia Tech. He's awesome. Chad Baker Mazzara is awesome. And Janiah Broome, people might hate him. It's because he's the best player in the country.
The final question I got for you. If you had to take Auburn or the field to win the SEC tournament,
ooh,
where would you go?
The field.
Would you?
And it's only because it's hard to win that tournament.
Yeah.
It's hard to win. Like, Auburn is the best team in the SEC, and it's going to be hard to move me off that, especially while I'm staying here at this apartment. But I think that they are, dude, they're just so talented. They're so well coached. Again, the thing about that tournament, especially, and you've seen it just as many times as I have. And also, I was informed today when I pulled in, we're going to be there. So
we'll
get some drinks while I'm there.
I won't stand you up this time.
Yeah, thanks, Dickhead. That was unbelievable.
That was not my fault. I can explain off air.
My favorite part was you saying you were on your way at 7:45.
That's the thing. I was on the way. And then we got
the same hotel. No, it wasn't.
This is a better off air conversation, but
either way, it's hard to stop a team when they get streaky. I look at a team like A&M, man.
Yeah.
Like, A&M can go on a run, and especially if Wade Taylor is hot, like through three or four games. Like, there's other teams in this conference that are good. Florida's another one. Or a team like Tennessee that plays such suffocating defense. So a lot of teams that I think could probably win that tournament. But here's the fun part too, is that we are, like, January was awesome. It was great college basketball in the SEC. Now it's about to be a bloodbath. Like, it is going to be so highly competitive, because now you start getting to the games that matter and people running out of time on that schedule. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a real fun month.
So real quick, just to recap his rankings, please flame away in the comments. LSU 16, South Carolina 15. What? Georgia 14, Arkansas 13. Arkansas just had a huge win. 12, Oklahoma. 11, Texas. 10, Mississippi State. 9, Vanderbilt. 8, Ole Miss. 7, Kentucky. What? 6, Texas A&M. 5, Florida. 4, Tennessee. You son of a... Number 3, Mizzou. Alabama 2. And Auburn, of course, number 1. That's your updated SEC power rankings from Vern... Queefer, what they call you?
I don't know, but J.M. Jones just said we're mustard stones. So,
all right, you got to run off. You got to jump off here.
I do, man. I do.
All right, thank you so much, buddy. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you then.
Bye bye. So, hey, Cousin Shade's still on vacation, so rest of the show I'll go solo here. Wanted to give you that full interview. Appreciate you, Chris, for stopping by. And now that he actually has internet. Not doing it at his other location. We could actually get through that. So that was fun. But I got to tell you guys about some of our friends from Public Rec. They've been sponsored on this show before. Highly, highly recommend Public Rec clothing. Go check them out. PublicRec.com. Use that promo code SEC for 20% off your full order. They sent me over some Public Rec sweatpants. Not even sweatpants. They're like, they feel like sweatpants, but they look like designer jeans. Are really, really nice. I liked them so much that I used the promo code SEC. I ordered some more, two other pairs of pants or sweatpants, however you want to look at them. I mean, I'm telling you, this is high quality stuff via Public Rec. It's a little expensive. That's why you need to use this promo code SEC to get you 20% off your full order. You can order pants to size. It's great. You know, not just small, medium, large. You can do a 32, 34, 38, whatever you need, waist and length over at Public Rec. Cannot recommend them enough. So go check them out, publicrec.com, promo code SEC for 20% off your order. And why Shane ain't here, He's on a little bit of a, not a honeymoon. He's been married for a long time, but he needs a little time with the missus. So what he did is he took him a whole package of Joy Mode. Try joymode.com. Use promo code SEC for 20% off your order or 30% off a subscription service. Shane, I could tell you what he's doing right now if you want to know. He's mixing that Joy Mode with a tall glass of water, mixing it up, and in 45 minutes, he and the missus are going to be experiencing some Joy Mode. So I get tryjoymode.com, promo code SEC for 20% off a single purchase, 30% off a subscription service. This is all natural supplement designed to enhance blood flow in over 200,000 men. Trust Joy Mode, so you should too. Tryjoymode.com, promo code SEC. Only other thing I wanted to talk about, that took up a lot more time. Chris told me he only had 30 minutes, but thankfully he went 45 with us here. But I thought this was pretty interesting. I threw this up on Twitter the other day. Shout out to Josh Pate. I mean, he's outstanding. We all know, his platform's blowing up, or it's been blowing up for a long time. But he made the note that not all schedules are the same, which clearly we know, but it's gotten worse with the expansion of these conferences. And the one he cited was Florida. And they're not even the worst. And the way he broke it down was he looked at the top 25 teams odds to win the national championship in 2025, and how many, and of course we're talking football here, if that wasn't apparent, but how many top 25 national championship contenders are on the schedule per each SEC team. That's what I've broken it down after he did just Florida, and wouldn't you know it, got it. If you believe in conspiracies, I don't blame you, because boom, here's the number one. Oklahoma has got 9 opponents next season that have odds currently to win the national championship among the top 25 in the country, and that is Michigan, Auburn, Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, and LSU. So essentially every single game from October 11th on, and then throwing in Michigan and Auburn. So I don't know who in the hell decided in the league office to say the hell with Oklahoma, but it's a damn gauntlet. So they are the only team in the entire Southeastern Conference that's going to face 9 teams that are currently have odds to win the national championship among the top 25 in the entire country. So this is just another metric to look at Oklahoma and the damn gauntlet that they are faced with Brent Venables facing some heat. He just named he named himself defensive coordinator is really what he did. He hired a linebackers coach after Jim Knowles went to Penn State. No, he left Penn State. Or excuse me, he left Ohio State for Penn State. I knew it was some state. I don't care about those stupid states. But he's not in Oklahoma. So this is obviously, this is going to be difficult. When you got, by this metric, doesn't mean necessarily that Oklahoma's got the toughest schedule in the country, but by that metric, they do. So it is insane. Hey, Fal Ming, appreciate you, brother. He celebrates 1 month of membership. Chip Kelly out at, is that right? I didn't know that for sure. Let me double check that real quick, but Fal Ming says Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator of Ohio State, is out. That would mean, yeah, shout out. He is the new Raiders offensive coordinator. So, that's pretty interesting. But I also don't think that, and I could be wrong, but I don't think many college football players are signing up to go play for Chip Kelly. I really don't think they are. He's not known as a recruiter. More of a business transaction. He's been to the NFL. He's had a ton of success, obviously, with Oregon. And now with he's had it with Ohio State. So, like Julian's saying, is their next quarterback, right? I don't think he's going up there because they got Chip Kelly. I think he's went up there because they gave him a ton of money. And Ohio State's got an outstanding track record of developing quarterbacks. So, it could affect things. After the spring window, like maybe they hire a new offensive coordinator that the players hate. That's what you got to look for is who will the next coordinator be? Because I no clue who it will be. I would imagine it would not be Ryan Day. I think he called plays previously, but obviously didn't this year. I'm not saying it has no effect, but I'm kind of reserving judgment till I see who they actually get, because I don't think there's literally any players, including, you know, Jeremiah Smith, whoever, that are up there because of Chip Kelly. The players nowadays are there because of money, and the money's not changing. If anything, Ohio State's got more money to pay the players because they're not. I don't know what Chip Kelly's salary was, but it was probably astronomical. So we'll see who they hire, who's the next coach they hire, and maybe that'll change things. That's something to keep an eye on for Ohio State. You know, Tennessee's probably got Carnell Tate on the line right now saying, hey, your coach just abandoned you. Would you like to come down to Tennessee? Of course, they would never do that. That's tampering. But those conversations will certainly be taking place. But let's go back to the scheduling here. So Oklahoma leading the way with 9 top 25 national championship odd teams on their schedule. And we have a bunch more at 8. So it's not like Oklahoma's the only team facing a difficult schedule. But how about Alabama? They are tied with several others. Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, and Mississippi State. Poor Kentucky and Mississippi State. But all these teams, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi State, are facing 8 teams that have odds in the top 25 to win the national championship next season. Some of these certainly you could bicker with, like Florida State. That's kind of odd to see. I think they just went 2-10. But brands are going to win the day on things like this. But that just lets you know, with true road games at Florida State, Georgia, Missouri, South Carolina, and Auburn. And we know Alabama struggled in recent years on the road. This is a schedule that could get Kalen DeBoer fired. I'm not saying it will, but I certainly believe it can. Arkansas doing themselves no favors by scheduling Notre Dame. I love that game, but just makes their schedule even more of a gauntlet. Otherwise, we'd be at 7, but we're at 8 here, with a lot of them on the road. Ole Miss, Tennessee, LSU, and Texas, of course. Notre Dame, I've already said, A&M, Missouri, and Auburn are the others. So they've got a damn gauntlet. Florida, of course, it's going to be tough sledding. Miami is a top 25 national championship odds. We've already said Florida State. So those are your 2 non-conference, and you got 6 in conference play: LSU, Texas, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Georgia, of course. So, maybe I counted wrong here. No, that's 8. That's 8 for Florida. Kentucky, this is the one I really feel bad for, because I think they're going to obviously have one hell of a tough time with this schedule. And the bye weeks are awful, too. But they also face 8 teams that are in the top 25 national championship odds: Ole Miss, South Carolina, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, Auburn, Florida, and Louisville. So good luck, Stoops. And then Mississippi State, I know Cousin Sven, he's remarked many times this is the toughest schedule in the country. It may very well be with Arizona State. They're going to be a popular preseason top 25 team. Tennessee, A&M, Florida, Texas, Georgia, Missouri, and Ole Miss, all of those. So they've got 8. Now, about the teams that have 7 opponents that are in the top 25 odds to win it all: LSU, South Carolina, A&M, and Vandy. Georgia catching a little bit of a break. Their schedule was a damn gauntlet last year. Georgia's only got 6 this year, and getting a lot of them at home. The only 2 true on the road are Tennessee, which you own, and Auburn, which you also own. The others, of course, Alabama, Ole Miss, Florida, and Texas. So this is kind of night and day different from what it was last year. So here's the big takeaway, though. Who are the winners of this that are facing very few of the teams right now perceived to be the top 25 with national championship odds? Shout out Auburn, only facing 5, and that would be, I would even question this one, but they are on the list. Oklahoma, at Oklahoma, they are currently top 25 national championship odds. Texas A&M, Georgia, Missouri, and Alabama. That's it. And 3 of those, for Auburn are at home. Georgia, Mizzou, and Alabama are all at home. And like I just said, I don't know that Oklahoma, I think that's more the brand. You know, if things break right, maybe they deserve to be there. But I would not have them as, especially considering their damn schedule, I would not consider Oklahoma as one of the top 25 most likely to win the national championship next year. Missouri is another big winner here. They're only facing five. And that would be South Carolina, Alabama, Auburn, A&M, and Oklahoma. And the majority of those, South Carolina, Alabama, and A&M, are all at home, with Auburn and Oklahoma both on the road. Two teams you beat last year, two teams you could certainly beat next year, if you certainly, especially if you hit on your quarterback. Ole Miss is the other one with five. They've got LSU, Georgia, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Florida. So another very manageable schedule for Lane Kiffin and company. We'll see how Lane Whiffen, how he screws this one up, like we know he will. And then Texas, they're another one. Even though they're playing Ohio State in the opener at Ohio State, they're only facing five. They got Ohio State, of course, Florida, Oklahoma, Georgia, and A&M. So again, conspiracy. Oklahoma's got nine. Texas only got five. Who signed off on this in the league office? I'll never know. But that's pretty interesting. And then the biggest winner of all, Shane will love this. Maybe this is why, you know, their odds are so favorable in Vegas. But Tennessee, you only have four teams right now projected in the top 25 to win the national championship odds on the schedule next year. Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Florida. So to me, I've been a person all off season. I'm kind of selling Tennessee. It's not that I think they're going to be awful, but we've already starting to see the early over-unders at 9.5. I think 9-3 is much more likely than 10-2. But again, it doesn't matter. Just look at Indiana with their trash schedule last year. You just pull an upset or two if you're Tennessee, and maybe you are 10-2. Maybe you are 11-1. And I don't even know if Alabama and Florida beating those teams, if those will even be considered upsets by the time next season gets around. I think the only one that'll be truly would be an upset would be Georgia, and you get them at home. So, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm loving that. I will say that. Again, by this metric, and for what it's worth, you know, it's just odds. Doesn't mean these are the top 25 teams in the country. These are just the teams with the odds to win it all. And there's a lot that goes into that, brand bias, certainly, and things of that nature. But again, if I'm a Tennessee fan, who are the other ones with five? Ole Miss, Texas, Mizzou, and Auburn. I'm pretty fired up with the schedule we have. And Tony, great point. Still SEC, you never know. And for years and years, we could say, oh, this team's got an easy schedule. Like, let's throw Tennessee's up here one more time. Like, we can perceive this as an easy schedule. What if, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but wouldn't stun me, let's say Syracuse is like 10-2 in a weak-ass ACC. I'd buy that. Georgia could be the number one team in the country. Arkansas could have a breakout. Kalen DeBoer could get the switch flipped at Alabama. Let's say Billy Napier's SEC Coach of the Year and Florida wins 10 or 11 games. I mean, all of that. And Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I think, is going to continue to get better. Let's say Oklahoma kind of finds their footing in the SEC. All of that could happen. I don't think that's far-fetched. So we could be sitting here saying, well, my God, this schedule we thought was the easiest in the SEC could be one of the toughest. So certainly that could happen as well. But it is early February, and we got to talk about something. So that's going to do it. That's all I got on this episode. Again, Cousin Shane is out for the week, so I'm going to try to get a ton of guests. We got Steven coming up tomorrow. We're actually going to have Steven on twice this week, and hopefully some other fun guests. Appreciate Chris Marler for joining the show. He's a good sport, and I really enjoy him sharing some knowledge on these college basketball teams that, quite frankly, Shane and I don't have. So we do appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. And as Cousin Shane would say, go Vols. We'll catch you all in the next one.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC Podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC Podcast. Hail State.